Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, you ready? This is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the phrase in God means? Enthusia, which is enthusiasm. To the church of the Thessalonians, who are enthusiastic, or they are full of enthusiasm with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. What does the word grace there mean? It means God's enabling. It means God's enabling be to you. And the peace of God there means God's abiding presence. Pretty cool, isn't it? So God is kind of saying to you, that God, this is kind of saying God's enabling to you and his abiding presence be with you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. What a great phrase. Your endurance inspired by hope. God, I wish I could write like that, don't you? We'll come back to all this in a minute. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because. So he's chosen you, but this is why he's chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words. You've not received a religion. You've not received a set of rules and regulations. You've not received a policy procedure for your life. You've not received all the red tape and bureaucracy for your life. It says here, you've not just received something with words, but what has come with power to set you free, has come with power so that you can live in something way beyond your own ability. It's come with the Holy Spirit, which gives revelation, who leads you, comes to abide in us, comes with the Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit? Because that brings intimacy with Jesus. Comes with power to do all kinds of things in our lives and to equip us, but comes with the Holy Spirit to bring relationship and intimacy. And listen to this. And with deep conviction. Now, deep conviction is not just about a conviction of sin. It's a conviction about the reality of who Jesus is. It's a conviction of knowing who he is in our lives. So the Holy Spirit comes with power to separate our past from what God has in our present and our future. It comes with power to enable us to live the life that he's called us to. It comes with the Holy Spirit to bring us into relationship and intimacy with Jesus. But then comes with deep conviction so that we live a life that is convinced about who he is. So no matter what tries to come our way, oppose us, stop us, whatever, there's such a conviction about who he is that our life convinces others. Because we're so convinced. What does being convinced mean? It means you're unmovable, unshakable. Your mindset can't be changed because you're convinced of something. You've had a revelation of something. Truth, you've had a truth encounter that is connected with something inside of you. And from that point on, because you've had a revelation at some point, you always know, well, that's it. That's settled in my thinking, in my heart, in my attitude. Because you've had a revelation. The light has gone on. So you know, well, there's no turning back to that because there's been a deep conviction. So when you would cut through, when there's a slice that goes through your life, you know, part of that slice will show that conviction there, that conviction there, that truth there, that revelation there, that freedom there, that whatever it might be. So you slice through your life and it's like, man, you're full of power. With a sensitive, intimate relationship with Jesus, with the truth running through the whole of your being. Let's just go back to the first part. We continually mention you in our prayers. Before God our Father, God and Father, your work produced by faith. In John 9, verse 4, it says Jesus in a situation with a man born blind. It says in chapter 9, just at the beginning, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus replied, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Because Jesus was saying, I've not come to do my work, but I've come to do the work of the Father. And everything Jesus did, he did by faith. And in the same way, what Paul's referring to is in the same way that Jesus said, the works of the Father, that's the things that we have been called to do. He says, your work that is produced by faith. What does that do? Takes all the effort of us, all the emphasis of us, all of the, I've got to feel better, I've got to have more power, I've got to do this to it. He says, no, your work produced by faith. Where does faith come from? A convincing that you've heard something. You've got a conviction. When there's a conviction, it's settled. So therefore, instead of striving, what you do is then produced by faith, because you know it's not dependent on you, it's dependent on who he is in you and the work that he is doing through you. And that's what the Thessalonians had an understanding about. And so they'd understand through this revelation of faith and realize, well, we in our own efforts, we're not going to see it, but let's see what God wants to do. And Paul encourages them, the work produced by faith. But then that work or that labor, it says, was prompted by love. So in the midst of this activity and this action, this obedience they were having, it was prompted by love. When you prompt somebody, what are you doing? You're being shoved all the time, aren't you? You're reminding. When somebody's prompting you, they're telling you something in your ear. Hey, remember this line, remember that line, remember this. Or they're prompting you with a little thing in front if you're in a play and you're kind of, there's the script going in front of you. There's the little prompts to remind you where you are or the line you're coming next. There's a constant prompting. Hey, and this prompting here in their work was love, 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 love. All the time. So they were coming with faith, expecting God to move in power, to release the Holy Spirit, so that deep conviction that was in them was going to be released into others. But as they went forward with faith and the power of faith, knowing God was going to do something, the Holy Spirit was going, but with love, 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 all of the time. So you might come with faith, but it's through love, 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 all the time. So your work prompted with love, prompted with compassion, prompted with grace, prompted with mercy, prompted with no judgment. And then your endurance, this is a fantastic phrase, and your endurance inspired by hope. Now, what does the word hope there mean? It means a confident expectation based on solid certainty. And that solid certainty is God's promises. It's pretty good, isn't it? So your endurance inspired by the confident expectation that is based on God's, on solid certainty of God's promises being fulfilled. See, hope in the Bible, this is another little thing that I was reading the other day and that I wrote. Faith is the present possession of what is hoped for. And hope is the confidence in God's future accomplishments. And because faith is sure and certain we have it, and hope is not, oh, I wonder if it will happen. Faith looks expectingly because you know the promises of God are based on a God who always fulfills his word. So there's a confidence of faith knowing that what he said is on its way, but you also have the reality of it in your life today. What does that mean? Confident expectation based on solid certainty of God's promises, of the present possession of the hope that we have, because our confidence is in God's future accomplishments. What is faith? Faith is confidently stepping into hope every day. Because if faith is sure and certain of what we do have, then we're not stepping into faith. When we take a step, what we're stepping into is hope. Because hope is the confident expectation based on the solid certainty of God's promises to us. So, Father, I thank you that I've received this from you today. I thank you that I've received this as a son of God. Thank you that I've received this. And now I'm not just stepping into faith because faith says I've already got it. But what faith does is step into hope of a certain expectation of God's promises being fulfilled. So every step is a step of hope. It's not a step of faith. Faith releases hope. Because faith says, I've already got it, therefore I can walk with hope. Hope in the world is, well, I don't know whether to say because I hope something happens. Hope in the Bible is certain because it's based on God's promises today. So you can say, well, it's a step of hope. And as I take a step, I thank you, Father, that I step into it. because faith has already released you to step into the hope of what is yours. Get that? I don't know. Hopefully you have. So Paul's encouraging these guys. We continually mention you in our prayers because of your work produced by faith, because you're not being dependent on yourself. And like it says in faith, Hebrews 11, here's this great load of people of faith. When you read through, they've all got issues. They all had issues. There's not one of them that you would read in Hebrews 11, you think, oh, they had absolutely nothing wrong in their life whatsoever. Just read through it and think Moses. Oh, he killed a bloke. Ran away from God. For 40 years, he was walking around in the middle of nowhere. And God found him. It took him 40 years to step into God's purposes. Well, you've beaten that because you're already walking in God's purposes. So you didn't wait 40 years to do that. So you're already doing better than Moses did. It's pretty cool, isn't it? There's others that you can read in there. They all had issues and problems and character flaws and all of that. But yet God didn't say, you've got a character flaw, mate, so I can't use you. He dealt with them and worked in their lives. He didn't just leave it there. He dealt with them so that on their walk, on their journey, God was working, God was doing stuff. But he didn't say, you've got to wait till you're perfect. That's why Jesus came. So that God could put his perfection in us. So that then before God, we're perfect. And then we can walk out that walk with him. And on the way, God deals with a few bits of rough to get us sorted, to smooth us and shape us. So that his Holy Spirit can flow through us. Okay? So this work produced by faith, this labor prompted by love. You have the spirit of love in you, and the Holy Spirit wants to prompt you. Love, 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 love. And your endurance inspired by hope. The word's fantastic, isn't it? Some of you got to separate your things in your life this morning, and you're walking out of here free in a way that you weren't today. And God wants to encourage the rest of us that we're in God. The enthusiast, the one who was and is to come, is in us. Our work, everything that we are called to do, to see happen, just lean on God, trust in him. Take steps of hope this week. Maybe that's a different way of putting it, because we generally would think, and the way we talk about things is take steps of faith. Whereas it seems to imply there that steps of hope, because hope is something that is certain when you step into it. Because faith gives hope, the certainty. And so we want to walk in hope this week of the certainty of God's promises for you, for me, for us as a church, and for other people's lives out there that he wants to touch and transform. God doesn't want us to live with anything in our lives. Just live with it. When Glenn was here last weekend on the Saturday, I want to finish with this. And on Saturday with the leaders, he did a session on what is normal. And he basically said, what you tolerate becomes your normal. And you might set a standard up here of normal, and gradually, because of this and that and the other in our lives, you know, we gradually settle for a bit less and a bit less and a bit. And then we start living with things in our lives and say, well, that's just, well, that's become normal for me now. And when something becomes normal, you don't even notice it anymore. You just live with it. And you don't even, there's nothing in you that sparks that I've got to deal with that, got to change that, got to sort this out. And he referenced when you decorate your house, you move in and to your new house and you've got all these plans to deck the whole place out, sort it all out. You get halfway through and life catches up with you. You get busy and some rooms are done, some are half done. You never get around to some others. And after a while, you just begin to live with it. Bits of wallpaper here, bits of paint there. And thinking about my bathroom at the moment where it's all tiled and done, but it needs some paint on it. And then you can begin to live with something and then you don't even notice after a while. And then you come to sell your house. And when you sell it, you do the whole place up and you look at it and you think, why didn't we do this 5 years ago when we moved in? And you leave it perfect for the one who's going to move in after. Why? Because we started off with, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to see. This is what we're going to make of this. But gradually, because of stuff that happens, we settle for something less. What we tolerate becomes our normal. God hasn't called us to tolerate. That's why this verse is fantastic. Endurance inspired by hope. Because endurance breakpasts every tolerance. Because when it's inspired by hope, you're always moving in to God's promises daily. Amen. Let's stand up, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn to somebody else. I want you to spend a few minutes. I want you to pray for one another, okay? And I want you to inspire one another right now. This isn't a time to give people prophetic words or anything like that, okay? But what it is a time, you know, to encourage, to strengthen the person, okay? So I want you to face to face with somebody. Just turn. Look them in the eye. Don't worry if one's blue and one's brown or one's green and one's pink or whether they've got funny contact lenses in today and they've got an orange one and a purple one or whatever. But I want you to pray for one another. Just minister to one another right now. Out of what you've received this morning, God's encouragement, God's strengthening, as we've shared communion today, some of you know God has done something. I want you just to pray for one another. I want you to minister. Don't just say, Father, thank you for Joan. She's awesome. She's brilliant. And she's wearing a really nice dress today. And, you know, oh, just bless her because you love her. And she's got a nice hairdo or whatever. She's done her hair nicely and all of that. Just lay hands on them and pray for them and say, Father, I thank you. You just infuse your life into them this morning. Thank you. Strengthen them. Just impart something into their life, okay? Just go for it. Go on. Go for it. Don't be nice and gentle and soppy. Stand in your place right now as a believer. Father, I thank you that you touch this life right now. I release fresh dimension of your spirit, of faith, of hope, of purpose. Thank you, Jesus. There might be some of you here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you've been listening to some of the things that have been said this morning and just being here amongst a bunch of Christians or believers and it's like you've been thinking, well, you know, can I be forgiven? Can God do that in my life? Because sometimes, you know, you might feel guilt and shame. You might feel there's certain things happening in your life and maybe you just thought of God as being somebody who's angry or wants to condemn people and is very separate and far away. But yet God expressed his love for you and me by sending Jesus, by Jesus coming on the earth 2,000 years ago. Because he knew, God knew that we in our own efforts can't reach God and can't change our lives in that sense to be worthy of God. But so God came down through Jesus and he came and he said, I'm going to take everything that could possibly separate any person from me and so they can come into a relationship with me. And on the cross, Jesus took every sin, everything that could separate you from God, every sickness, every pain, every shame, everything that could hold you back, every reason why you might even think, well, there's no way I can know God because I've done this or I've done that and he can never forgive me. That's why Jesus came, so that every possible thing could be dealt with and separated so that you could come to know Jesus. That's the amazing grace of God. God's grace is giving us everything even though we don't deserve anything. What an amazing God. That's his heart for us as people. And so he loves to work in our lives and he loves to forgive and he loves to separate us from the things that separate us from God and he loves to bring us into relationship with him because when you have a relationship with Jesus, you find, as we've heard this morning, your life takes on a different meaning. Suddenly there's a hope. There's not just, well, one day maybe this, but there's a hope, there's a certainty that comes in because God's certainty, which is called a hope, is based in what God does, which is called faith. And God loves to work in our lives. And maybe some of you this morning, you don't know Jesus, or you know you need to get right with God. You've been away from God. Maybe it's the first time you've been in a church meeting for a while, and you're just like, oh, I've got to get my life sorted. Let's all stand up for a minute, please, just before we kind of close the meeting this morning. Just close your eyes. If that's you this morning, you know, I want to have a relationship with you, Jesus. I want to get my heart, my life right with you. I want to deal with all the stuff that could separate me. If that's you, I'd like you just to raise your hand. I want you to be bold. Just raise one of your hands quickly so I can see you. And we're going to pray together and just respond to him. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? We just want to pray together. Thank you. We're going to pray to God. Pray to him. Talk with him. Just respond to him. If that's you, I'd just like you to talk to him. We're going to pray together. Talking to God is like having a conversation like you have with somebody else. But the amazing thing about having a conversation with God is he can change a situation in a way that nobody else can. I'd like you just to pray with me, and then it'd be great to talk with you and pray with you afterwards. We're just going to pray together. If you'd like to just talk to him, it's an initial step of saying, God, I want to give my life to you, and I want you to give your life to me. And so if you raised your hand this morning, we'd just like us to pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have done so much for me, even though I've not done anything for you. It seems pretty one way so far. But first of all, I thank you for the amazing work of the cross and what I understand that to be. That you take all of my sin and everything that I've ever done that has separated me from you, and you forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me for everything I've done that has brought that separation. I ask you to forgive me, and I thank you right now that, as I've heard this morning, your blood cleans me. And Lord Jesus, I give you my life right now, and I ask you to give me your life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just taking that first step in getting to know you. And Jesus, I want to follow you, walk with you for the rest of my days, the rest of my life. I thank you that I step into hope now, a hope that is certain because you got great things in store for my life. Jesus, I want to serve you and honor you for the rest of my days. Holy Spirit, thank you that you come into my life and you seal what Jesus is doing right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.